The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new. So step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-chumba. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great day. Good start to your week. We head east. We go to Knoxville at this time on Mondays. Vince Ferrara, Sports Animal WNML there in Knoxville. At Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
What'd you think of episodes 7 and 8 for The Last Dance?
DVR'd. So I'm midway through episode 7, which is what is taking up my afternoon viewing today. So
you are literally throwing out the line on this show, yeah, I was too busy. My schedule was full. Sorry, I'll have to get to it later.
Look, I love it, all right? So I'm absolutely watching. I've stayed away from social media as well. So I've stayed away from spoilers. So, I'll take care of it today. It's spreading out the viewing is all I'm doing to make sure we kind of close those gaps. You don't want to do everything all at once and then have big gaps. So that's all.
I can appreciate that. We're doing that with Netflix. We in rations. We try to ration. You know, no reason to binge watch in these times. Then what, right? You binge watch, you're done, then what?
Yeah.
So, you know,
right.
I can appreciate that. The storyline has been, in our conversations with you the last couple of weeks, is what Jeremy Pruitt and his staff has been doing on the recruiting trail. And what's amazing as we sit here in mid-May, and that continues to be the storyline. Pretty impressive what is going on with the Vols. But what have they moved up to now, number two in most recruiting ranks? Number two class for 2021, is that right?
That's right. Two pretty much across the board. And, look, the gap to Ohio State is still significant because Ohio State is just insane with what they've done with 4 and 5 stars. They just have so many of them that take up most of their class that they're still a ways away, and I don't know that they're going to catch them. But, you know, that's fine. If you're number two and you end in the top five in recruiting, that's how you can make up some ground on the rest of the SEC.
Yeah, but the fact is Alabama, Auburn, Florida, and Georgia and LSU are behind you right now in those numbers.
Alabama, I think, has like 4 commits total. They've been in the 50s in the rankings, which Alabama last year got out to a slow start, and sometimes they do and they close strong. I would expect them to close strong, but for them to be as low in the rankings as they are now, it is weird. And there's some different teams that are up there right now, too. So it's different the way everybody's handling it. But nobody, to me, has seized this dead period and this stay-at-home period like Tennessee has. And I think I mentioned it to you guys last week. There's not just one reason for it. You list me, or I can list 10, 12 different things, and the real answer is all of the above. It's all of them. You don't recruit on this high level and not have that, and not have all those factors in play. And what's interesting, and you guys may plan to ask me about it, is the reaction. They're drawing reaction from all their rivals and people around the country, which is just, I think, excited Tennessee fans even more that people now are aware of them and reacting to them.
What do you think, and I know I've asked you this before, but what is changing? And I guess where I'm going to go that's a little bit different on this is, how much do you think Philip Fulmer is playing any of this, or is he in any of this?
As far as them executing the recruiting, I'm not sure in terms of the results. I think, you know, he's connected to Pruitt and Pruitt's success. So if Pruitt's successful, in accord with that, Philip Fulmer is going to be viewed as successful. And
I guess what I'm getting at is he doing – do you think there's been some stuff behind the scenes where Philip Fulmer – because Philip Fulmer never had a problem getting big-time recruits to Tennessee. Do you think he's been in his office saying, you know, basically trying to help him, you know, land these recruits? I'm not saying Philip Fulmer's picking up the phone or tweeting kids, because most of these kids don't even know who Philip Fulmer is. I'm saying, do you think he's helped – you know, Jeremy Pruitt behind the scenes with a lot of this?
You know, resources, things like that. But I don't think that – I think this is a Pruitt thing more so than Fulmer. He'll give him whatever resources, whatever – you know, when they could travel, whatever travel they need. And, you know, you need an extra practice field, well, you know, sure, we'll get it to you. So from that standpoint, he is helping them, and then they're utilizing the – ability to have those resources, but I don't think he is so involved that he is taking recruiting to another level, because Jeremy Pruitt has changed his staff, and his staff continues to get better and more effective in recruiting. Some of the young guys they brought into the staff, Jimmy Brumbaugh, Shelton Felton, Joe Osovitz, not necessarily young, but he came in new as an on-the-field coach, and all these guys are just sliding right in. And so many of these kids that are committing, now it's 11 commits in the last 15 days. And they're talking about different coaches and their relationships with them, and including Jeremy Pruitt. So I think it's their recruiting system under Pruitt that's more of a factor than necessarily Fulmer.
And it doesn't stop with the football program. Rick Barnes and the basketball program is getting it done, too. I mean, it's pretty interesting to see football and men's basketball really getting a lot of pub for what they're doing recruiting-wise and what, you know, what they've got coming in down the road.
Well, for sure. Tennessee has the fourth-ranked class, top five, depending on your service and your website, for the 2020 class, and that includes a couple of the five-stars. That'll be freshmen this year, Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson, two super athletic, talented guards that can both defend, which is what they had a huge issue with last year, is on the ball defending especially, and both of those guys are really good defenders and great athletes. And then Corey Walker, who's kind of a hybrid forward, inside-out type of player, 6'7", and all these guys have length, too, in length in terms of wingspan, and they can all jump, all those kind of things, which kind of makes up for the actual height. Pete Pons is another guy in that way that is plays higher or taller than his height. We'll get to him in a bit. But, yeah, it's a terrific class that's coming in. And Malachi Wideman, another football player, is in the mix too, but I think it's going to be hard for him to do both of those sports. So just a terrific class coming in, and then they're in the mix for minimum of 6 5-star players for the 2021 class. I mean, they're not going to get all six of them, but when's the last time you could talk about Tennessee in the mix for 6 different 5-star players? And there's not many schools. It's a handful of the blue bloods, that the Kentuckys, the Dukes, and some of those that are typically in the mix for whatever 5-star they want. Tennessee is in that conversation. They're right there with a bunch of those 5-stars and the ones that they want. I talked to Paul Biancardi from ESPN about it, and I asked him about some of the specific guys. He thinks five-star Kennedy Chandler from Memphis. He thinks Tennessee is in great shape for him, that he really loves Rick Barnes. And then also you mentioned Charles Bediaku, who is a five-star center from Canada. He thinks Tennessee is in great shape for him also because of all the success that Tennessee's had with Canadian players. You put a couple of classes together where you're putting five stars on the court, and in Paul Biancardi mentioned this too, you're not losing out on the quality of players that you're bringing in. So you have the great guy Grant Williams types, only now you're not losing any of those types of guys in terms of human beings and work ethic, but now you have elite athletes that have the same intangibles that you're looking for. That's now what Rick Barnes has been able to do, and it's because of the team success and the player development that he and his staff have shown.
More with Vince Ferrara on the other side from the Sports Animal, WNML, there in Knoxville. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The show moves on here on Darren Donican Chase, 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio Nashville. We're talking to Vince Ferrara over in Knoxville, our weekly chat with him about the Tennessee Volunteers. And Vince, before we get back into specifically what's happening with Tennessee, I want to just pick your brain on just giving people here an idea of what it's like over in the eastern part of the state. Today, we're entering into phase one in Davidson County. I know the state has had its guidelines, and a lot of the counties in between us have opened up long before the situation we're going into now. So what's it like in the middle of Knoxville right now?
Well, it's crazy. Friday, it was raining Friday, and I was out a little bit and grocery store, a few errands, things like that. And the traffic was almost like normal, not quite, but there was still a lot of people that were out in the afternoon, even with the weather not being great. And that was really the one day where it kind of opened my eyes that, hey, people are starting to get out. I'm not going to call it normal because it's not, but get back out more frequently. Go to the grocery store. It's about 50-50 in terms of people in there. Some have masks and some do not. I just think there's sort of like the opinions that you hear from people. Kind of, it really varies on what people are doing with this period right now. The good news is there really, even though people are getting back out more here in Knox County, Blount County, really haven't been big jumps in the COVID cases. So that's good. People are getting out more, and they're not doing as much of the social distancing. There's more testing going on, but the numbers haven't jumped considerably. And I think that just adds to people's confidence that they can get back out there. But everybody's viewing it differently still. There's still plenty of people that
sure.
are
and that's going to happen. I was just curious, has Knoxville followed more what Nashville has done just because it's a bigger yeah. city, there's more people, therefore more cases? Have they held back from where yeah. some of the rural counties have gone?
Exactly. Just like you guys there, it has been a slower stage than the rest of the counties throughout the state.
Let me ask you about a recent blog that you did, mentioning The Last Dance, even though I know you haven't watched it. You talked to Richard Justice, who is always a guy that we enjoy talking baseball with. He had a good Michael Jordan baseball study, or story, rather. That story has always fascinated me. Share what he told you.
Yeah, he said that, look, Michael Jordan said in the documentary that he didn't have a gambling problem. He has a competition problem. And Richard said, oh, my God, there is nothing he could have said that was more true than that. He said when he covered him with the Barons and in Chattanooga that Jordan would go play a couple of rounds of golf in the morning, come into the clubhouse, and hustle card games with his teammates for for a few hours, then take BP, and then they'd play the game. And that was like his daily routine of taking money off of people, basically. So he said he was a junkie at it, and he just burns a different fuel. So I thought that was interesting, and really speaks to what episode 7 especially was about, Last Night of the Last Dance, and that time he spent in Birmingham, just just fascinating.
Did Richard think, I don't know if you asked him this specifically, but I always love to ponder the question of whether he really could have made it. As we said before when we were discussing it, they could have snapped their fingers and made it happen. I mean, the curiosity alone probably would have been worthy of him getting called up just to see what the crowd would have been like. But in terms of really being a legit major leaguer, do you think he could have improved that rapidly at that age to make it? I still have my doubts.
Yeah, he didn't. We didn't. We're just short on time at the end when we talked about it, so we didn't follow up on that. However, you know, I did see the part in episode 7 where Terry Francona said, "You give him 15. You would have given him 1,500 at bats. He could have gotten to the major leagues." And he seemed to say that confidently in the documentary. Now that's one man's opinion. But I, you know, I think so. He got better at hitting the breaking ball, but just wasn't a natural at it. And again, getting to the major leagues is maybe different than kind of what you're asking is a day to day legit MLB player. That might have been too much to ask.
Tell us about Eve Pons and his draft decision.
Yeah, it's interesting because he is there in that second round range where kids can make different decisions, and we've seen them projected as second round picks. They're willing to take the chance that maybe they do slide into the first round, and so they keep their name in the draft. He has an agent, but it's a certified agent by the NCAA, so he has the ability to come back. And that's the key, is he had just closed the door on it. He's a really good student. So with a lot of the kids that make these decisions, you have to wonder, are they just done with school? I mean, some kids just don't want to go to class anymore. They want to play basketball as their life. He's not necessarily in that camp because he's a really good student, very intelligent. And he has a lot to gain by coming back. He can improve his offense. He has improved every year. And so there's something there for him, and obviously would really improve Tennessee if he does come back. I mentioned talking to Paul Biancardi from ESPN. He said that if Pons comes back, it makes Tennessee one of the best teams in the country, not in the SEC, in the country, with that talented recruiting class that's coming in and everything they bring back off of next year's team, off of last year's team. So he, unlike Grant Williams, where he wasn't going to grow any taller. I mean, that was different. He has something to gain by coming back. Biancardi says he thinks he's a mid-second round pick, and maybe as early as early second round, and maybe late second round. But he looks at him as a second round pick because he needs to develop his offense, and thinks he certainly will do that if he returns to the Vols.
Talking to Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville, and I want to go back to football recruiting because I think this is a huge story and a major step in the right direction. And as you know, Darren brought up and we've brought up several times, I mean, they now have to coach the players; they have to do something with them. But what are some other things that you guys have been discussing? I know you co-hosted Middays last week on the Sports Animal. What are some other things that have really stood out to you about recruiting and how well Jeremy Pruitt has done?
Well, the first thing is just the numbers. To get 11 commits in a 15-day stretch, I don't know that we've ever seen that before. So just trying to wrap your head around that and trying to comprehend that. I went back and looked at a couple of Butch Jones hot stretches that he had where he would choreograph different announcements in a short period of time, and you know, he had like 5 in 4 days during one stretch, and but that was the extent of it. And this is unprecedented. And you know, there's been a narrative out there, Chase, that the only reason the Vols are second in the rankings is because of all the commits they have. They have 21 now. So, they have the most commits, and so everyone says, oh, their average start rating, that's really bad. So that's the only reason they're up there. And my response to that is that's an old, outdated narrative. When Tennessee, about 40 days ago, was sitting at 7 commits and they only had 1 4-star, sure, you could say that. But since then, 8 of the last 11 commits have been either 4 or 5-star guys. So now they're on this hot stretch, and they're getting a lot of elite players, players that they need. Then they added a quarterback this weekend in Caden Salter, who's a dual guy, shows, I think, some development and for Jeremy Pruitt, that now he's looking at those kind of guys that make up a large part of football today, guys that can be athletic and make plays at the QB position. He really hasn't had that before. So he's evolving from that standpoint. They're getting key guys at the right positions, added an offensive tackle last week too. They're filling needs. And the whole average star rating thing that people are taking shots at Tennessee, it's really not accurate. It's outdated. And a couple changes to that, you'll likely see there's a number of guys that maybe are 3 stars now that are going to get elevated to a 4-star, and then some 4 stars that could get elevated too. So that's going to change. You're going to see them upgrade. I know people don't like that, but that's a reality. It happens, and it's going to happen with the top programs. Some of the early 3-star guys, they're going to likely be asked, yeah, hey, you may want to look for a different situation. Tennessee isn't going to talk about that kind of stuff. Nobody likes to talk about that stuff in recruiting, but it happens every year with a lot of programs. So you'll see more of the higher rated guys come in and some of the early lower rated guys slide out. So all of that is going to evolve and change, but I think this is a legit top 5 class when it's all said and done for Tennessee. I think this run is going to continue, and I don't see the criticism of the class really being legit. I think they're doing an insane job in recruiting right now.
Something that we've talked about before, Vince, is with success, whether it's recruiting success on the field, what have you, all of the above, that's going to change the perception of the head coach. That's going to add pressure to the head coach. Mm-hmm. So with all of this, and you're right there in the belly of the beast, has your perception of Pruitt changed, not changed? Are you still waiting to see just what the on-field product looks like? What's changed with you, if anything, through all of this?
Well, it's a good question, Chase. I think my opinion of the team on the field won't significantly change, but I'm guessing as fans get excited and have just the full confidence that whatever Pruitt is doing is working in all phases, that he gets the benefit of the doubt, and there'll be higher expectations for this year, even though the players that they're bringing in aren't going to be there until next year. But for me, it doesn't change because, you know, I hear fans talk about we have one of the best defensive lines in the country, and I don't see that. I'm looking through the roster, and there's a bunch of guys that have started ball games and have played ball games, but they're still – they don't have enough stars on defense. I think they have one in Henry Toto, and they have some young guys that haven't proven themselves. Maybe if one of those guys, one or more, turn into stars, then that's a different story. I don't see that yet, so I don't think they have an elite defensive line right now, and they still have on their offensive line, still need to find out if they're going to have Cade Mays there. If Mays is there and he's more consistent than he was last year at Georgia, where they're bouncing him around, then you have, you know, really good offensive line. Now you're cooking, you can do something. But the last thing is, to your question, is what do you get from the QB position? Is the second year with Jim Chaney, are you going to see reap the benefits of that? Is Garantano going to take that to the next level? Or are you going to have the inconsistencies last year, or maybe you have to go to a 5-star freshman? I think there's still some questions to this team that I wouldn't put them as the team to beat, or they're ready to overtake Georgia and Florida. I don't think they're there on the field yet, but it is certainly encouraging that they have developed players like they have. Now they're bringing in elite players to develop. That part of it is exciting. I just don't know that they're ready to win the East just yet the way it sits now here in May.
Vince, before we let you go, I mean, I know you're an MMA guy, just like Darren, mm-hmm. just like me. I watched UFC 249 this weekend. It was fantastic to have live sports. I enjoyed the event. It didn't really bother me that there weren't fans. I mean, I knew, but I didn't notice. I was paying attention to the fights themselves. even with a fighter testing positive for COVID-19, it went off pretty much without a hitch. Now, if other fighters or other or staff members come out with it here in the next few weeks, then that obviously changed things. But what were your takeaways? How can other sports maybe look at some things that, that happened this weekend and use it for their own leagues?
Well, I agree. I enjoyed it. I'm glad it was there. I hope that with Jacques Ressouza getting that and his two teammates, them getting COVID-19 and testing positive for it, that he didn't expose other fighters. So I think you're going to see others test positive because they're testing everybody. But did any of them, will you be able to connect the dots back to him after he told them that he thinks a family member had it and before the test results came back? Because there still looks like some video that, you know, maybe he was around some people, mask or not, until they found out that he was positive and they took him out of the hotel. So if, as long as they can connect the dots back to anyone that tests positive, I think that's good. The biggest thing is that they have access to testing. And so that's why you saw Joe Rogan in the octagon afterwards doing interviews and shaking hands and some people just without masks. Because like Rogan said, it's like, hey, everybody's been tested, so we're good. Although some people had masks and some people did not. So, you know, why was that the case? So there were still some strange parts of it. But the biggest thing is he had access to testing, and that's the lesson to be learned. If you have the test, you can keep everyone secluded and safe and around each other that's negative, then you can make those things happen. I think they did a really good job with it overall, and I'm certainly glad it was there.
All right, Vince. Well, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, you guys be good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Vince Ferrara, the Sports Animal, WNML in Knoxville. We'll come back with more here on Darren Donovan Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Good stuff from Vince Ferrara, as always, every Monday. Starting at noon, he's at WNML, the Sports Animal, there in Knoxville. And right now, the football program and the men's basketball program getting it done on the recruiting trail, both with top five classes right now. The Vols in football, number two ranked class for 2021. Rick Barnes, you just heard some pretty strong words saying if Ponds can come back, they may have one of the best teams in the country, which is pretty interesting. Also there at the end, you heard us talking about the UFC fight. UFC 249 in Jacksonville, Florida did take place on Saturday night. The prelims were on ESPN, a really good prelim card, as we talked about on Friday with Brett Okamoto, who they used a lot on ESPN leading up to the fight card and used a lot over the weekend. Anthony Pettis and Donald Cerrone was basically the main event on the prelims. Fabricio Werdum was also on the prelims, so a very, very good card leading up to the main card, and it happened, even as it was brought up in the interview, with a fighter testing positive on Friday. And I knew that it would continue. I had a couple of people reach out to me and say, hey, do you think this is going to affect the card?
I asked you that.
No, you did. You were one of them. And I said, yeah. Nah, it will go on. And, I mean, look, anybody coming back, you have to be prepared for that. I mean, you can't go into bringing this back and saying, hey, if we have a positive test, we're shutting down. I mean, that's just – I think that's going to happen. Period. I mean,
right.
We're seeing it all the time.
The important thing is what measures you take.
Right. Yeah. How do you handle it when it does happen? Because it's going to happen. And they handled it. And, of course, that particular fight was canceled. But the show went on. And
I'd be curious of all the things that they did do, because like we've been talking about all along, we've all wondered about this, and now you have a real live case in sports. I would think all organizations, all sporting leagues would be watching and taking note on what they did and asking themselves the question, would we have done it differently? Would we have done it the same? All of that stuff. Because as you said, Darren, this is living with the virus is what we all have to figure out how to do.
Look, if your mindset is a positive test means we're shutting it down, then you don't have any business coming back, right? If you don't have the plans, in the room, if you don't have plans in place to deal with it when, not if, when it happens, if it's just, hey, we have to shut it down, then you don't need to come back because it's just going to happen. It is. And it's going to happen in Major League Baseball. It's going to happen in NASCAR. Somebody is going to test positive. Somebody's going to test positive in the sport, and NASCAR's going to have to handle when they come back this weekend because, in fact, they've got three races in the next, what, Chase, 10-day, week and a half?
Yeah, they got four, and plus you got the
four.
And you have the other series too. I mean, you have the Xfinity series. They're going to run a couple of races at Darlington and Charlotte. You got the Truck Series that's going to run a race at Charlotte, and they're doing all of that, you know, in succession. I mean, it's going to be bang, 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 bang. So they're just putting everything very, very close together, and they have things in place that if somebody were to test positive, whether it's a driver or a crew member or, you know, they have protocols set.
They've said that?
Yeah, that was a part of their initial release.
So they have prepared for positive tests.
Yeah, they haven't gone into details of exactly what they're going to do, but they do have protocols in place, as any league would. You have to.
Well, but one group of people's protocols could be satisfactory to themselves, but then
Absolutely.
Outsiders might say, I don't know about that. And then other groups might be going to different extremes. And I'll give you a reference, guys. Dr. Fauci, who we've all come to see a lot on our TV screens and we've learned a ton from, he did a great one-on-one with Peter King in light of the schedule coming out and what needs to happen. He had some really interesting suggestions on what he would like to see to be able to do it, and they talked about a lot of what-ifs. And one of them was about, you know, what if, let's just say Patrick Mahomes got a positive test and he's got to sit out for 2 weeks. And Dr. Fauci was like, yes, absolutely. It would be malpractice to send anybody out there
of course.
That had a positive test. So we need to get used to that possibility.
That goes
right?
without
We're talking
saying.
About predictions of lines and what could happen. There's so many crazy things that could happen. And inevitably, this is going to happen to players that are household names. It may not just be the third string tackle, you know, that gets this. And another part of it was, it was his recommendation that by August, we could be in a position to where you could, ideally, he said, with football, you know, and all of the exchange of the virus that could happen, right? I wipe off my sweat from my face area. Now it's on my jersey. Now it's on my pants. And now I go hit you. Now I've given stuff to you. He says, that, you know, that there's a lot of transmissions that are going on there. So he said, ideally, you would test everybody twice a week, you know, middle of the week and then right before the game. And obviously, we're not to that point, especially for NASCAR. Now, NASCAR has a lot less contact between people, right? So you factor that in. But all of these things are great things to consider, and we have to consider all these things.
Yeah, I mean, acting like it's only going to happen to a guy on the practice squad or it's not going to happen to a star is just completely naive. But, of course, they have to go away for 2 weeks. That happens anyway. I mean, stars go down, okay? Stars get injured. Stars miss games. Stars miss weeks. It happens in the sport already. So it's just going to be part of it. I mean, it's not going to be normal. And if that happens and it's a guy like the status of Patrick Mahomes, then he's out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And
but the other thing
have
is
to adjust.
The other point he made was if you got four guys – now you have a big problem, right? Because if four guys or five guys are infected, now you start wondering who else is infected because the odds are that those aren't the only four guys, right? The more people are infected, the more chances are that somebody's infected other people, and you don't always have that answer right away. Sometimes it takes you a couple weeks to figure out who also got it along the way. That's the scary part. That's why the testing has to come a long way. I can't see how we're going to pull this off, especially in the sports that you really interact a lot with, until we have a lot better idea of who's got it as you walk onto the field.
Well, this goes
the UFC just did it.
Right.
It doesn't get any more contact than the UFC. I mean, football and the UFC are, I would say, you could identify as the most contact that there is. So, I mean, they just did that. So, and it's a much smaller operation than obviously a football league or, you know, some of these other sports leagues that we're talking about. So it's a little bit easier to pull off. But I mean,
and the reality is we may not know for a couple of weeks the lasting effect of the guy that got, you know, that had the positive test. Hopefully they handled it well and they jumped on it early. And, you know, as Vince was explaining, you know, trying to trace back who he had been in contact with, all of that stuff. So, you know, hopefully in a few weeks, you know, we won't find out things that we hope haven't happened.
And they have other events. I mean, they have an event Wednesday. They have an event this weekend doing a fight night. So the show is going on as far as UFC is concerned. And as we mentioned, NASCAR, look, it's different for every sport. But this goes along the lines of something we've discussed, that there's trial and error. And at this point, this is kind of what we have to do. I mean, if you want anything to come back, you're not really going to know much information until you have a plan in place. You try and execute that plan and then you change and evaluate as you go along and make changes to the plan, like, okay, let's do this a little differently or something like that. But you won't know really without trying it, and that's what Dana White and the UFC have done. That's what NASCAR is about to do. You know, there is nothing in writing from NASCAR especially that says, hey, if this doesn't work, you know, we're just going to keep going. No, that's not the case. I mean, if they have to stop again, they will. They don't want to. But that's probably what'll happen. And all the other sports, albeit different, they're going to pay attention to this. They're going to pay attention to UFC. I wouldn't be shocked at all. I don't know the answer to this, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if one of the commissioners, whether it's Adam Silver or Rob Manfred or Roger Goodell, if they haven't talked to Dana White or somebody very closely involved in the UFC, hey, tell us what happened when this happened, or tell us what you did here. I'm sure there have been conversations.
I have no doubts about it. No doubts whatsoever. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Monday next. Do you own or manage a small business? Are you open and want to let people know about it? Well, we've got free Business Friday. We've done it the last two Fridays, and it's been really cool here on 102.5 The Game. And this Friday, we're going to do the same thing. We're offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. That is no cost to you, no catch. It's as simple as that. Go visit thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. If you haven't heard the last two Fridays, you should jump on board. If you're a local business and back open and would like to get the word out, it's a really cool deal that we've come up with, and I think it's a fantastic opportunity for you to jump in there and let everybody know about what you have going on. So if you are just hearing this for the first time, go to our website, thegamenashville.com/FBF, for more information. So we just talked about the UFC went off this weekend, UFC 249, and we were rooting for Dominic Cruz, and unfortunately he lost. Tony Ferguson also lost, TKO, both of those ending in TKO. But nonetheless, it did go off. NASCAR is going to attempt to bring back their sport this weekend. We're starting to get to that area. Now MLS, you know, they're now back at the training facilities, and so it may be just around the corner. I guess the question where this is going is PGA has been targeting this time a month from now to bringing back their sport. So everybody's kind of in that mode. The question is between the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the National Hockey League, who's the next one to jump out there and have some type of news that gets our attention of basically this is what we're targeting or this is what we're going to do? How would you answer that?
Well, it's,
I don't think there's any way to know.
You're just saying like which league is next to say, hey, we're coming back or here's our plan. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying who's next. Those three sports, Major League Baseball hasn't started their season. The NBA and NHL has got to determine whether they're coming back or they're not coming back, what they're going to do. I mean, we're in mid-May, so I'm asking, who do you think is going to be the first? All these other sports are, you know, they are putting out news. So who's the first of those three? to come out with something.
I don't think it's going to be baseball because I fear that there's going to be a battle between the owners and the players on getting paid, unfortunately. Of, you know, they're not going to be able to play 162, but the players still want to get the money like it's 162. So I feel like there's about to be some sort of battle between the players and the owners on that. I'm going to go NBA. I know Shaq is saying, you know, forget the season, move on to next year, and saying that whoever wins the championship, it's going to be looked at with an asterisk and all that. I love Shaq, love him on TNT. I disagree with him. I think that they still have an opportunity to get something in, and so they should take it. So my vote, I'll go NBA.
I'm waiting for the next phase, basically, and that would be for the NBA and the NHL to say, we're going to work out in small groups. That's what I wonder if that's going to happen this week sometimes, where at some point where they're allowed to gather, start working out together in smaller groups, working their way up to a team practice if there are no setbacks. That's what I would hope would happen. That's what I feel like along the timeline, where if in their minds they want to be playing in July, that this is the first thing you have to do.
Yeah, I look, at some point, aren't they gonna have to?
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that all three would like to play starting around July 1st in some form. Right?
Right,
I think
that's what I'm
you've
getting
read
at
enough about all three leagues is that's what they would like to do. They're not ready to come out there and report that because they don't want to have to move that date, but I think in their mind, that's roughly the timeline we're talking here.
Yeah, the point where I am is we're in mid-May, and at some point, if that is the target, you would think we're going to start getting some news here really soon. I mean, you're not going to just announce it on June 28th that, hey, we're back on July 1st.
I feel like we have to know something in the next. I said this morning, maybe this week, and Ryan pushed back and said, well, I don't think it has to be this week necessarily, but I feel like in the next couple weeks, because of all the prep time that, you know, the NHL or NBA are going to have, you got to have something. You got to have some sort of announcement and a date of, yeah, we're coming back at this point. I just feel like in the next couple of weeks, we got to know.
I think the month of June would be the training month for those three sports. If you could execute that plan effectively, not have the setbacks, you would have the players training and working themselves towards being able to play live in July.
Which, hence, once again, if you're talking about getting together for training in June, at some point there's going to have to be an announcement.
Right. And I don't
you got to say this at some point. I honestly think Major League Baseball, to me, I kind of feel like they're going to be the first to jump out there. In fact, I think there could be something put out there this week of their intentions.
Which, what does that say if they bounce back first and their season hasn't even started, and you have the two teams that had to stop and, you know, in the middle or past the middle of their seasons, and they're not even back yet? Do you read anything into that, or is that just baseball? It's like, hey, we just got to come back.
No, I think that honestly, some of the stuff I've been reading. In fact, I'll send it to you guys. I've been a little bit surprised. I mean, I said from the get go that I felt like NASCAR and golf, there were some sports that I just felt like they should be a lot more, you know, I expected them to be a lot more aggressive in coming back because of the way their sport is set up. It's easier to pull off. I think baseball is as well. Now, it's a big organization. You've got to figure out rosters. You've got to figure out how you're going to do this. But, I mean, just the game alone, I've actually been reading up, you know, being outdoors, it's actually set up to be a lot safer than the others because of the dynamics. Like I said, I'll send you this article I've been reading. It's pretty lengthy, but I've been surprised that maybe baseball hasn't been a little bit more aggressive with a plan of when they're going to start up their season, because I know they've got dynamics that they have to figure out on how they're going to pull this off and where you're going to play and what you're going to do, a lot of things we've been talking about, but the actual, like, on the field and the way the game is played and being outdoors, it's actually set up better than a lot of the other sports to pull it off than an arena, a smaller venue in an arena, and, you know, more contact in some of the other sports. But we'll see. So I actually think it's going to be Major League Baseball. And, yeah, I don't agree with Shaq's comments. Well, I mean, I just think it's easier. I guess the best way to put it is I think it's easier for him to say that because he doesn't have checks to collect. Right? He's not a current player. It's a lot easier to say that when you don't have anything attached to it other than.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got a pretty solid deal with TNT that I'm sure he's not getting paid for.
Yeah, okay. Shaq will be just fine without those TNT checks.
Dude, they all care about whatever money they get, and you know that. I mean, yeah, I hear what you're
saying. He's not doing the TNT for the checks. That's not why he's doing it. Shaq's made his money, man. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah,
he is set
all,
for life.
They all like whatever they get. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. I just disagree with him across the board. I think we both do. It's silly whether it's an asterisk. Okay, everybody's going to have an asterisk this year because this is so unprecedented and so unique that it's and we're all going to know why. It's not like it, you know, whoever wins the NBA championship, they won it and their victory is tainted because of this. This is a circumstance nobody saw coming. So who cares if it's got an asterisk by it?
The Dolphins have already signed their guy. We'll talk about that and a lot more to kick off the fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.